podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway, with the biggest stars, top teams, and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every game from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona, and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time, and extra time, and stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low, great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton! Tonight's Davinson Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal! On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Lamella, who will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason.
Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run! Heung-min Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Welcome, and good morning. To those that may have been watching this stream, this is the NSO in under the touchline Fracker banner. I'll be your host this morning, X-Pac, Booker T, joining me today as well. How you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, man. What's going on, bro? You good?
Yeah, lots going on. I'm good personally. I mean, maybe a few things not being cancelled would have been much better, but you know, we're being respectful. Otherwise, how you doing?
Yeah, good. It was a interesting week of football for us, but all the same, still positive, which we'll get into. So I can't really complain.
Exactly. And it's kind of worked out well. We get to give some of the people an impromptu football fix where there is none this weekend. Normally, mm-hmm. we'd have released the audio by now, but you know, we just thought we'd hold off and see what was going on with the Man City game, I guess, which is no longer going ahead. But we'll get into what we have done recently. Obviously, it feels like ages ago already since we played our last league game. Coming off the 1-1 draw against West Ham, we're looking to play Fulham. That was obviously last weekend. And yeah. I guess a lot of people were expecting there to be some somewhat heavy rotation, given that we were going to be playing Marseille midweek. Conte complained last season a little bit here and there about not being able to use a bigger squad, and he obviously faltered when we played more than one game a week. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how we approach the Fulham game. Obviously, you were at the game as well, but what did you initially think of the lineup compared to what I guess you thought it might have been?
I quite like the lineup, to be honest. It was interesting to see that Longley was coming into the team. He seemed to rotate to bring Sess in, and then obviously he gave Richarlison his first start in the league as well, at the expense of Kulusevski, which I wasn't really too unhappy about, but against like a Fulham team that I kind of thought was always beatable, I thought this was kind of enough. I was kind of happy to see the two ball playing centre backs in Romero and Longley, and I was keen on Richarlison to really get something from the game, because he's kind of shown in flashes in his substitute appearances what he's about. So I was always up for it, to be honest. I thought the lineup was good. I thought, again, this is a good enough lineup to be able to beat Fulham. And it was pretty, I'd say, comfortable in the end, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously we looked to start the game well for once. Like, I don't think any game prior to that this season we had started well in the first half, and I guess that was partly due to the centre back, the back three we had in build up. Obviously, we were a bit hesitant with our automations because none of them are really that proficient with the ball. You could say Eric Dier's like okay, but Davinson Sanchez was a bit weaker. Ben Davis is a bit limited, but obviously where Davinson Sanchez is, I guess, on the ball the most limited of the lot, we saw teams do this season what they started to do last season, where they would funnel play out to the right-hand side and build up, and obviously that would see us force it over there and end up pressing us into errors, because obviously we got Emerson Royale out on that right-hand side as well, which is a bit more damning. So it was obviously excellent to have Romero back, obviously, to help out Emerson. Longley, it surprised me that he started Longley, you know.
Yeah? Why?
Considering how on fire Mitrovic is at the moment, and I can't remember who he scored against the week prior, but I just remember him attacking that back post where Longley scored, would be playing.
I think that was against, that was at home to Brighton. He scored quite a good goal, which was, it was Brentford at home. And it was a winner as well, actually, at the back post, yeah.
Exactly, and he's just a back post demon. Like, I remember seeing him target Trent on the opening day of the season as well. Obviously, yeah. Albeit the opposite far post, but he loves it over there. So I was hoping Longley would get tested defensively to a point, but I was a bit worried about Mitrovic taking advantage of him. But honestly, he was excellent. What did you think of Longley's debut?
No, I was really impressed. If I'm going to be honest with you, I was saying to Si as well at the game, like, you know, it's a funny one with Longley because I've seen a lot of these comps, these fail comps, and I don't know, I've always kind of been unsure about what kind of a player he is. Like, you know, I know that he's played at Barcelona for some time and he's an international as well, but I always thought if this is the player that looks like he's going to be at a good level in terms of technically on the ball, then, you know, with the back three tacks, he would kind of be protected. And I was, if I'm honest with you, I was kind of saving my judgment really until I've seen a few games of him. But honestly, from the weekend game against Fulham, I was really, really impressed. I was really impressed with how composed he was on the ball, how assured he was in that back three. There was even some nice moments where he was able to come into midfield very briefly. And I also liked like the range of passes that he gave as well. Like, I felt like he mixed it up. He was quick with his passing. He gave some really nice crossfield passes. That was good as well. And everything that was required of him defensively, I think he dealt with pretty well. I don't think he was tested as much defensively, but I think he did, like, for a debut. He did okay. I was happy. And to be honest with you, I feel that this is a kind of a good place to be, having a player like this, because I think it will be good competition for Davies, who I think is better defensively, but doesn't have the attributes in terms of his ability to automate and progress the ball from the back. Whereas I think maybe he is probably a little bit better than that at Davies and maybe needs to be tested a bit more defensively. But I think it's a good problem to have. Good problem to have. And I was really impressed with his first start. I think a lot of Spurs fans were as well.
Yeah, exactly. And some could have seen it as a bit harsh on Ben Davis, but like, we got him in for a reason. Loads of people wanted a left centre back in. Wasn't the ideal target, obviously, but yeah, he's impressed me in he impressed me in the Fulham game. I said he was brilliant or excellent, but maybe that's been a bit too much. He was comfortable though. Yeah. He was very comfortable. What I love about him as well, like, he always seems to be sprinting into spaces to actually be able to receive the ball as well. Like, he's always on the move, looking to want to receive and pause, get the ball. Maybe even a further pause, but Jesus Christ. He's impressed me, man. He's impressed
me. Yeah, he has. And you know what? Like, I think, you know, if he understands the role that he's going to play this season for Spurs and he performs adequately and he can see himself playing, you know, maybe more Champions League football, or a team that's kind of moving in a positive direction. You know, maybe a deal can be done. I'm not sure what they're saying the deal is probably, but I'm going to say somewhere in the region of about maybe 15 to 20 million if it ends up happening. But again, we'll just have to wait and see. It's still early days for this season, to be honest. So.
Yeah, no, it's a good point to touch upon, to be fair, because you'd think with Conte liking him so much, we would have probably included at least an option to buy, which I don't believe we have. So maybe that's interesting. Maybe it was because of all the fan backlash, including us and myself as well at the time, to say we didn't want him. Yeah, who knows? But hopefully if he carries on like this, then boy, he'd be worth more than 20 even. Barcelona are broke though, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Obviously, we looked comfortable throughout that first half. I thought we always seemed in control. We actually started a game well for once.
We did.
And Huibier, who I was almost pleasantly surprised to see start, given he had his ankle cremated against Declan Rice and West Ham. I thought he would have at least been rested for the Marseille game. Obviously, he started. Was playing really, really well with Bentancur as well. I thought they constantly got onto the ball, managed to progress it. And Huibier ended up getting a goal just before half-time. What did you kind of make of his overall performance?
Yeah, you know, I thought he did well. You know, I've never really been his biggest fan, but it almost feels like he's playing himself into some sort of form and also some regularity in the team as well. He looks like, you know, our steady Eddie, if you were to call it, in that midfield. I still feel that there's a little bit of imbalance in that pivot. I still feel that we need something maybe a bit more. What's the word I want to use? I wouldn't say incisive, but something that's just a bit different. I almost feel that the two of them, whilst they have their roles, I kind of feel that like sometimes the tandem between them can be quite difficult, in the sense that if you know you want to get the one that's more technical, i.e. Bentancur on the ball, but he'll find himself in areas doing lots of defensive work, and then you find Højbjerg in areas whereby he's more in attacking areas, and he seems to just, that seems to be nosebleed sort of for him when he's in attacking areas. Although, interestingly, him getting into an attacking area produced a goal for him against Fulham. But
a couple goals this season already.
Yeah.
Both in London derbies.
Absolutely. I can't really complain, to be honest. I think he's playing. I think he's in a good moment. Right now, I'm just going to have to just agree with everything that's being said about him. It would be good to get some more game time for Bissouma, so that he can find his feet. But at this point, I can't really fault Højbjerg. He's in a good moment.
Yeah, even that he has been playing well this season. You're right, and he does seem to step it up in games with like a higher intensity as well. It just seems to suit him being in that chaos, I guess.
Yeah.
I obviously, I was saying even before the game, and I'll say it again in hindsight, I don't think he needed to necessarily drop Bissouma, especially what a home game against a favourable team. He
could have
Højbjerg and Bissouma. Bentancur has started off the season quite slowly, so we could have put him on ice for a bit longer. It is interesting to me why or that Conte sees Bissouma in more that kind of deeper role of the pivot, whereas I would have probably associated him with just getting slightly further forward with someone like Bentancur actually holding.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Maybe he's done that in pre-season because Skip was unavailable or coming back from his injury, so we'll see how that plays out, because hopefully Skip can get some game time soon as well. Well, I say soon. Obviously, not going to be playing for like a month, but within the next few league or cup games. I get the feeling you probably would have dropped him in Son as well before this game.
when I was thinking about it, I felt like maybe he probably would have been best for him to have been dropped, just because I just feel like at this moment in time, it's a bit of a mixed bag with him. It's either do you drop him and let him like regain some sort of like fire in his belly, or do you keep playing him and then let him kind of try and play through the bad form so that he can get back to where he's at. But I don't know. I just feel like with the amount of minutes he's played and just the performances, just doesn't look like a player who's particularly confident in his ability. Everything looks to be particularly deliberate instead of natural for him. And I kind of feel it's unfair for Kulusevski to have been dropped as a result of it, with Richarlison, you know, providing sort of assists and performing sort of quite well when he's come on. But again, he's a key player to the team and he probably just needs that first goal. But at this point, I don't know. Based off the Marseille performance as well, I called his form a bit of a pandemic because he just doesn't look like a player who can play at this level at the moment. I don't understand why. Like, even more so, just like the basics. You know, sometimes you can always have a base level that you can kind of fall to. I mean, he doesn't look like he can dribble. He doesn't look like he can make these easy passes. He's making like the wrong, runs. He just wasn't great. He wasn't great midweek either, to be honest. So I don't know. I feel like now, even though the City game was upcoming, I don't know, maybe this is a good time to give him a rest.
I felt like I gaslit you a little bit there talking about him in some, but you have probably been more of his more like critical critical members of the cast on
yeah, definitely.
I felt like the times that in the Fulham game it was quite helpful. I felt like his hold up play was a little bit better, but obviously that's not saying much. The bar is pretty much on the floor for that right now. Like you said, he is. It's quite obvious he is trying too hard, but again, he still manages to stretch teams in behind with his runs, giving us space.
Yeah. Even to some extent as well, I always feel that maybe he's even just a little bit like he's not himself because Kane and Richarlison seem to have built a bit of a. A bit of a relationship, and he seems to maybe feel like he's left out and he's doing things that maybe he's not comfortable doing or do things that he wouldn't normally do. So I'm a little bit like, just get back to your level, man. Just get back to your level, find a goal, get an assist or something, and then at least we can go from there. But at this point, I mean, you know, we're not losing games and we've got players to replace him with or to change it up with. So I'm just going to wait for that form to come back.
Fair enough. There are obviously questions as well, like whether Son is mentally, I guess, the type that can kind of have someone challenge him for his spot and he can still kind of thrive under that kind of pressure, as opposed to what he usually does with every season he's been at Spurs, is end up playing himself through these bad patches of form. And it's funny because we end up saying that times when he does go through his bad patches of form, like, oh, we haven't got someone to come in for him. We haven't got someone to come in for him. And now we do. It's like,
now we actually do. Yeah.
maybe we will just carry on playing him through his form anyway. It's an interesting one to know what to do with him, because City would have been their next league game. Personally, I don't think I would have dropped him for that, but I think a bad performance or no goals in that game, that you actually cannot question it at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I felt like Suss had a decent game in rotation with Perisic.
Yeah, I felt like he did. I mean, this is one of the good things as well. Like, I also kind of thought about the game afterwards, is that for a long time, you know, even Conte said there was times last season he looked back at the bench and there was nothing to really be excited about, nothing that he could really change up the team with. But again, this is sort of game that, like, you know, both teams played midweek. They had goodish performances, I suppose. And then coming on the back of a Saturday game at 3 p.m, Fulham have come into the game completely unchanged, because, you know, they're not going to change a winning formula. And we've gone into the game and we've actually had the ability to make five changes. And five changes in a game where we looked completely comfortable, 20 odd shots, 10 on target. If anything, the game probably shouldn't have been even, you know, I think 2-1 even flattered Fulham, to be honest. But again, someone like Cesc, you know, he didn't have any minutes in midweek against West Ham. But again, he came in and seemed to do a fairly good job. Worked very hard on that left side and actually provided us with lots of good sort of opportunities. He was plugging away, really, almost like trying to impress maybe against his old employers or whatnot. But I thought he played well. I thought I still sometimes get frustrated about his inability to take on his man, because he's often in acres of space on that left side. I often feel that he just, at the moment, he's kind of building himself back into form and he's doing okay. But again, that one thing that I used to see from him when he was at Fulham, I know it's years ago now, but one thing you see from him was his ability to just charge into attacking spaces, either with a shot or either with like a cross. And I feel like he needs to do that more. But even for the goal, the Kane goal today, you know, he first provided the first cross and then, or was it, sorry, the first shot, which was kind of blocked, and then he kept himself kind of alive to then provide the second from the second sort of bit of play, which involved him passing it across to Kane to tap in the 6-yard box. So at this moment, I like what he's doing. I feel, again, you know, similarly, we're looking at players who just need a little bit of guidance, maybe even a little bit of backup. And he kind of has that now in Perisic. So he kind of is being given some, you know, probably some tips on how to perform in the position, and also just the ability to have someone to compete with means that, you know, every time you're given the opportunity to play, you're absolutely giving it all you can. He did that.
Damn. Yeah. Can't agree more. There were a few sloppy moments, I guess, when I was watching it back, but I think generally he still had a good game. And with it being a kind of rotation game for Cesc, it's like you say, it's good that we've got these options, especially if you're just going to come in for these games as well. Fair enough. You're more than good enough to do a job. And so far, touch wood, it's been 6 game weeks into the season and he's not got an injury yet. So
yeah, you know, like
that's the key for him, really.
That's massive as well. You know, continuity, that's what he needs, continuity.
And continuity breeds confidence, hopefully.
Yeah.
Let's see, Richarlison had his kind of debut as well. Yeah, what did you make of his performance? Because he's coming off on the right-hand side as well. I mean, a lot of people expected him to kind of come in for Sun, play in the left, or Sun, maybe through the middle, but playing off the right, it was okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he just, I don't know, like, there's something different about him. Like, he just seems extremely dogged. That's the one thing to describe him. I was at the game with Dave, and just the one thing that we could just see that he was extremely dogged. His pressing for the first goal in the corner with Emerson, and then he was able to recycle the ball, whereby he ended up assisting Højbjerg, was excellent. He just never gives anything up. He's happy to do the doggy work, happy to do the doggies, happy to do the rough work, like happy to put himself about, let people know that he's there. And then the good thing about it as well is that on the other side of the ball, you know, when he does win it or when he does get in positions that he can kind of affect the team, he provides quality. He provides quality. Like, I think it was very unfortunate for him to not get that goal and then to be yellow carded because of it, even though it was offside. But like, I'm really quite happy. It's weird, really, because for years we used to say we needed someone who was a backup for Kane, and we've never had enough sort of squad depth in like players for Sun and other wingers. But we're in a moment now where we have someone who can actually kind of play both. And in a weird way as well, he provides a different kind of threat, which I actually like, because I think I saw a stat as well where over the time that he played in the match, he had, I think, 22 odd like sprinted presses as opposed to 10 and 15 respectively from Kane and Son, which kind of means to me that, like, you put him in that sort of 9 role, even on the wing, he is a different problem for the defenders to deal with, you know, which is which is positive. Like, I, you know, we're probably going to still say we overpaid, but I feel like even now he probably still feels he's got something to prove, which I like as well. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, yeah. It was a slight precursor as well. So I know he didn't score in the end. Obviously, he had the disallowed goal, but he showed really good moments in build up. But the precursor was that he instigated that press very, very well, especially in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously key to us actually starting games better. I felt a bit sorry for Kevin Mbabu, who seemed to be targeted and obviously got choked and lost possession quite a few times.
Yeah.
As a result of our press. But yeah, it was satisfying to see us score that way again. Because we're going to have to play that way sometimes, especially when we're the favourable team at home. Obviously, there was a question at the live show from Lewis of Touchy Gooners to Tobes, like, is your style of football sustainable? And I remember him asking it during the Mourinho time as well, where we weren't really creating chances. It was pretty much 0.1 XG, but we'd score two goals or something like that. And
yeah,
he was right, to be fair, at that time in saying that football wasn't sustainable. But this year, I mean, we're not playing great in midfield at the moment, but we're still managing to create clear chances game after game. Consistently.
Yeah.
We're still managing to limit, obviously, like Tobe said on the show as well, chances for the opposition. We just need to be able to control games better and just be a bit calmer in midfield. Like, we've always got the options there. We've got the technical quality there, but we just haven't seemed to compose ourselves to not always play at like 1,000 miles per hour. Which really and truly we don't really need to do. But obviously, I'm moving on to the Marseille game now. Obviously, we won against Fulham. Actually, before I move on,
yeah,
we did concede against Fulham, and Christian Romero got a little bit of criticism for, I guess, being a bit too excited. Like,
yeah.
Is that something you're worried about with him?
With Christian Romero, like, one of the things that used to really worry me about him was how rash he was. He's very, very front-footed, and, you know, he's not averse from getting a yellow card. But I feel like in the games that I've seen him this season, he's actually managed to kind of calm that down a little bit, and he knows the right moments in which he can fly in and also make challenges that are necessary. I thought the Mitrovic one was a difficult one because it was a breakaway, it was a transition goal. We had pretty much pumped most of our 11 in the Fulham half, and they broke away after one of our attacks broke down. And there was one pass which I thought that they wouldn't make. It was a crossful pass. And when it got to him, I was like, he's still got a lot to do from here. I managed to wriggle away from Romero. And maybe Romero probably could have stood his ground instead of trying to get into sort of a battle to win the ball with him. But then by that point, Dyer had returned and Emerson just slid in as, you know, some sort of a decoy. But I mean, the goal was a really good goal. it was a really good finish as well. So at that point, I wasn't particularly worried. I was just a bit annoyed because, you know, we'd added now a bit of pressure to ourselves in the last sort of 7-8 minutes. Against a team which I thought we were wholly comfortable in the game against. But again, sometimes it's just about seeing out these performances. No, I'm not. I wasn't particularly like annoyed or upset with Romero's involvement in that. I mean, yeah, sure. In the box, I'll probably want you to stand up a little bit and keep your pressure. Well, keep the pressure on the defender, on the attacker. But Mitrovic, you know, he's fairly cultured. You know, he's a good goal scorer. He found some space, even if it was just a little bit, and he was extremely clinical. So he can have that
very,
one.
Very. He could have played for Jose Mourinho Spurs for sure.
Yeah.
This version of him anyway. Yeah, I mean, I guess this is, I can sense the ops starting to get onto Romero a little bit, which is why I wanted to kind of address it. But I mean, Conte just seems to be already all over it. He's always said, like, okay, yeah, the guy has quality, he just needs to be more mature,
Yeah.
I tell him all the time, he says to him, apparently, which is interesting. I wonder if he got a bit of an earful after we conceded that goal.
Like, I don't know, man. I just feel like we're so lucky as well. And, you know, obviously we've now signed him officially, and he's at, what, 5 or 6 year deal. I just feel that, for me, he'll get better and better. This is like a, I really do mean this. He's a fantastic footballer. Like, not just in his defensive actions, but his technical ability on the ball is very, very sound. He has this amazing ability to disguise his passes, whereby some of the midfielders don't even react quick enough to receive them, and some of the fullbacks don't react quick enough to receive them. But this is someone that I can be happy that is probably going to get better and even more comfortable in the league as well. I'm a big fan of him, and I really do believe now he's in the top sort of 4 or 5 defenders in the league, hands down. I really do. That's how confident I am in him and in what he brings as a defender as well. You know, one of the things that's big for us at the moment as well is that, yeah, we're winning games and we're being difficult to beat, but I feel like we're extremely robust. We're not giving many chances away, and, you know, unless you're gonna have chances that are almost like half chances where you're extremely clinical, like the Suchet goal, like the Mitrovic goal, you know, you're not really getting opportunities to get out our goal like that anymore. So, and I think he's one of the reasons that's part of that as well. But again, you know, this is what his second season, really. Second season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, second season at Spurs. So I think it will get better and better. I'm not like worried or anything about that side of him. I think he will come on leaps and bounds for us.
For sure. And I feel comfortable with someone like Conte kind of being on his neck when he does.
Yeah.
When he does kind of get a bit too excited. But yeah, it was obviously signed permanently now as well. Obviously that was always going to happen, but it's good to have that signed and sealed, considering he's already worth more than what we paid.
Exactly, yeah. Which is brilliant.
No, I guess finally moving on to the Marseille game then. Obviously our first game at home in the Champions League for stuff like 2 years.
Yeah.
It feels like we're actually meant to be there this time, because we kind of like limped there last time, and the team we had in that group with Leipzig and co, it was just dire. It wasn't very inspiring. I think we all kind of knew we weren't really going anywhere in that tournament. But at home against Marseille, where obviously they had quite a few ex-Arsenal players as well, so it's kind of built up to be a pretty big game. No Payet for them, though, luckily, and I think we were largely unchanged, apart from Perisic coming in at left wing-back.
Yeah.
Obviously, that means, obviously, he can see with the front three of Richarlison on the right-ish. Inside right, Kane and Son, who starts. Emerson still at right wing back as well. I feel like we started that first half rather poorly. Obviously, you missed the first 20 minutes of it. Again, you didn't miss much. But what did you make of that kind of start to the game? Because you were obviously getting that atmosphere in the stadium. There were boos at halftime.
Yeah. It was a funny one. Lots of moaning and groaning. We seemed to just allow Marseille to have quite a fair bit of the ball. But then again, you know, like, this is something that I'm not too upset about, you know, the way that we play in these kind of moments. Like, we seem to set up in a way that, yeah, teams can have the ball, but for all of the possession that they had, for all of the, you know, passing that they were able to do, they didn't create anything. You know, this is a team that is not doing like amazingly in the French league, that has all these, you know, ex sort of Arsenal players and players who are of a good level. You know, Veretout and Bailly and all this stuff. But, you know, for all the possession that they had, they didn't really cause us much problems. And I actually felt that we were lacking the basics. I just felt there was no... I felt that we had no funk in that first half. Just lack of intensity in our press, lack of quickness in our passing. I don't actually think we got a shot on target until like the 60th minute.
I feel like our passing was almost too quick once it reached a certain point, though.
Yeah, and then we had lots of chances in the sense that we had, I think it was maybe 10 or 11 shots, but we just, nothing was really clicking in terms of in the box. Kane had one towards the end of the half, which I actually thought, this is a goal, the minute it opened up for him from Son's pass. But he dragged that wide, and I don't know, I think if anything, we were just frustrated. I don't know, like, I always feel funny about these boos and people groaning. I feel like because we've performed the way we did at the end of last season and we've started the season quite well, scored goals and not conceded much, people have become expectant.
Oh, were you not one of the ones that booed then? Or?
No, I wasn't.
I'm actually a little bit surprised at that, to be fair.
Yeah, I kind of felt that like it was, there was nothing that they were doing that kind of made me feel like, okay, it was, I just felt that we just needed to tighten up or sharpen up a little bit in our play. And I just feel that, you know, sometimes there are going to be games, especially in the Champions League, because the Champions League, you know, like compared to the Premier League, yeah, Marseille aren't like amazing, but they're at a good technical level. And there are going to be games, I imagine, against Sporting and against Frankfurt as well, where there's going to be moments where it's not going to be all Spurs and it's not going to be easy. And that's okay. You can actually ride these games out and be patient. And that's, again, what we did. Like, when we think about how the game went, like, it sounds crazy, but Tottenham actually were able to overcome a low block. You know, they got 10 men after the red card. They sat in deep. They defended pretty well. And in the end, we actually, you know, fine, it was against 10 men, but we were able to break down their low mid block. And that's kind of, you know, what fans kind of, we've wanted for a long time. The ability to, in these games where we have lots of chance, lots of possession, and it's not always going to be, okay, we're just going to open our, and just let you do what you want. We're just going to, you know, there's going to be games where it's going to be a bit frustrating and it's going to take maybe one half chance turned into a goal. Or two half chances turn into a goal, and that's just how it went. To be honest, at this point, I'm not complaining about how things are going. I'm not. I mean, I think there's going to be games more like that against for us this season. I think there's going to be games more like that in the league and in the Champions League, where teams are going to be, they are going to be frustrating, and we're not going to have everything go our way, but just little bits of quality, which Richarlison provided.
Exactly. It was, I think for me, the first half in particular, was just a case of, I thought the game plan was fine.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought the game plan was fine. Like, yeah, we invited a little bit of pressure on, let Marseille have a bit of the ball. But whenever we got the ball, you could see, even before we progressed it, the gaps were there. And it was like, okay, like, maybe because of the sense of urgency, being in the stadium, first game back in the Champions League, 2 years, whatever.
Yeah.
There was just a little bit too much. Well, there was not enough composure in our play. So obviously we just get straight to the forward line and try and have this cute interplay. We try and flick it onto each other, go straight through on goal in like 2-3 passes. And it would just break down almost every single time. Whereas if we kind of laid it off to a midfielder to release a wing back or again, release one of the other wider attackers, just a little bit, just an extra pass or two, we would have been through almost every single time. It was just lacking that. I think you touched upon it as well, just the basics, even though like the notes in the game plan seemed for all intents and purposes pretty spot on. We just gotta get the basics right. And there were times as well where I felt like they were letting Emerson just roam. Because we just weren't giving him the ball. I think it's got to a point now where a lot of our players, again, just don't trust him.
That's it, you see.
He was free to be released quite a few times. I just remember seeing us turn back, lay off to side, at least two or three times where Emerson had peeled off and he was in at least like 20 yards of space. And then when he did get the ball in space, I think he had like three people to aim at and he tried to switch it to Perisic. Which would have been a decent option, but he played the ball so far behind him, it just killed the whole attack.
It just completely killed the whole attack. Like, this is something that I'm just finding at this point. I don't know, man. I can't fault this guy defensively, but he's just so poor from an attacking sense. I mean, he really is, like, so poor. And it's so obvious as well that, like, you know, key players in the team just do not trust this guy in attacking moments. So it's almost like you're giving the guy enough space and time to do what he wants, but then even his own teammates are being like, nah, I'm gonna just wait and maybe not pass you, because even if I do, it's probably coming back to me. And even if you do go forward, there won't be much. And also, teams are clocking onto it as well. Teams are saying, you know what, give this guy as much time and space as he needs, because he's not going to do anything with it.
I don't know why it would have taken him so long to do this.
Which is absolutely insane. There were like 2-3 moments against Fulham at home that this guy, like, they just completely left him out wide, and it went out wide to him, and the guy has either too much time or the quality of the pass is just low. So you're just like, okay, well, you know what, man? Do your thing, bro. Do your thing.
I feel like I feel like quite a lot on this part. I don't know if I usually do that, but for me, Emerson needs to play with Kulusevski if he's going to be playing on that right-hand side. Because
yeah,
you could see at times, even last season, like Kulusevski was almost like holding his hand and constantly making sure he was shown as the option. Yeah. You could then just carry it then up the wing for him, and he could just kind of check back. And he actually proves to be quite useful when he tucks in, because he has a decent bit of ball retention. He can make up numbers in midfield.
Yeah.
But when he's out wide and asked to be a creative hub, it's just not worked. But
you're getting nothing.
He's been solid. It's so annoying.
It is very annoying because, like, to be honest with you, at least you know when he's in defence, he's very happy to track back. He's very happy to make his tackles, to stop crosses from coming in. You know, he gets in his positions well. And you're just like, fine, you know, at least on one side of the ball, I can trust you. I can at least say, okay, you're going to give me that. But just from the attacking point. Ugh. And it's such a frustrating one, because he is so limited in that respect. He's so limited in that respect. And he's a player that's gifted so much time and space. I just think, God, someone who had just 25%, 35% more ability, more quality, it will result in so many more attacking chances or attacking goals being created.
Double figures for goal.
You know, it really would be. It really would. And it's just like, you can see that even just the quality, just the raising quality we have in Perisic from, you know, say a Reguilon or a Cesc, immediately he's providing assists. He's getting into areas that are causing some sort of problems. And, you know, at least you know what you're kind of going to get. With Emerson, is he going to make the first time pass? Don't know. Is he going to make the back post pass? Don't know.
I've not seen that enough.
Is he going to make a fizz front post cross? Don't know. You just don't know what you're going to get, you see. So at this point, we'll just have to accept it just because of his defensive contribution, you know?
Exactly. I think he would have probably started against Man City as well, but that's he did end up being hooked against Marseille quite quickly.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I can't remember if it was half time or just shortly into the second half.
It was shortly in the second half after the red card. Because I think Kulusevski was supposed to come on immediately, and then they waited the red card, and they waited like 4 or 5 minutes, and then they just put him. They put him almost like
put him in what position, sorry?
I was just about to check her, and I was checking my paperwork just to see what position they put Kulusevski in. But yeah, they put him in the right wing back role.
Just for a slight bit of context, there's been a little bit of chat in the group chat. It was after Conte said last season that Kulusevski would be a good option as a wing back, and I was like, I'm actually really on that. Like, if we're having to struggle time after time against deeper to mid blocks, then why not have someone who's going to be playing in a position where he's going to be asked to be a creative hub?
Yeah.
Who effectively is going to take up the same positions anyway, and is willing to do the doggies defensively, but won't necessarily need to do a high, like a I guess, a high amount against the team who are obviously looking to sit in a bit. I always had a good feeling about it as soon as Conte said it, and no one else has really been on it. And I remember even speaking on a space about it, and the host immediately dismissed it. He's now since tweeted that it's actually a really good option for us, which is interesting. Excellent
like,
option now.
But, do you know what's funny as well? Is that way, like, Kulusevski, he's so good from a technical perspective. Like, you know, even though he's on that right side and he's left footed and you know what he's going to do, he still has the ability to either take on his man, to use the channel, or if he needs to come inside, just come inside, beat his man, find a cross. Like, it's just, and it's just annoying as well, because just like, oh, I could see what he could probably do if he was on that right side. But I don't need him on that right side, Owen. All right? I don't need him on that right wing back. I need him playing, you know, in that right-sided attacking area where he's gonna cause damage against
against Marseille at right wing back. Funny enough, it allowed us to, I guess, keep all of our attackers on and break down.
Yeah,
I mean, it gave us a lot of thrust. To be fair,
like it did.
It was a good proactive change by Conte, albeit again against 10 men.
Kind of
caveat it with that. I guess a slight shout out to Son as well, who still didn't necessarily have a great game. He didn't have a good game even. But he, like in a few games this season, he's just proved to have these little bits, the little bits of play where he'll be effective in us winning the game, where it'll be taking a corner, which we score from, forcing an own goal against West Ham, getting a red card forced from Mbemba against Marseille. It's weird that he's still managing to force these little moments. Is he's like a kind of main player who can still run in behind and stretch teams. But yeah, he was visibly just not confident. Every time we had a break, like there was one in particular 3-on-3, which we had towards the end of the game. And he just took an age just to release the ball.
Even the chance
for Kane in the first half, like, could have released him immediately. He had like two or three more touches, turned twice, and then released him. It was like, oh, bless him, really. But I mean, we'll see. That Kulusevski change, as we said, allowed us to get on the front foot more, allowed us to not obviously just be funneled out to have our attacks break down on the right-hand side. We were using that extra pass a lot better. And eventually, Richarlison got a nice little goal.
Yeah.
Perisic with a beautiful cross as well.
Yeah, well, again, it's such a funny one right now. This is why I kind of like the fact that what Richarlison is offering us, you know, because I'll be honest with you, Son didn't have a great game. Kane didn't have a great game, even to the point where he was trying to find himself in positions where I don't really want to see Kane. I don't really want to see him in the channels trying to be the person crossing into the box. I don't really want to see him in that deeper sort of area trying to make things happen. I want to see him in the box. I want to see him in and around the two centre backs, causing some problems, dragging people away. And fortunately, we actually had someone in Richarlison who's very much happy to stay in that area so that he can cause as many problems as possible when the ball comes into the box. And honestly, two of the goals that he scored were pretty much both in the 6-yard box, you know? So to be able to have that kind of quality in Son and Kane, but also that added quality with someone like Richarlison, I think it's such a bonus, you know. And both of the goals were so like clinical. The first one, like when you watch it back as well, and even being there, he hit it with such power, it pretty much went through the goalkeeper, which was kind of crazy. But the second one as well, like as the ball come in, you know, he's even got to judge it, whereby if the defender doesn't get it, he's still got to be alert to make sure he gets on the end of it. And he did exactly that, you know.
Yeah, that second header was
which was brilliant. Like, you know, two sort of goals within 5 minutes, kind of wins the game. Champions League debut, and also his first goals for Spurs after the disallowed one on the weekend. So, you know, I think it's important. I think it's good that we have that at the moment. And he just seems to be a welcome addition. I have said that, to be fair, this season. I have said that whilst I can't really judge what he's going to be like. I was always a bit miffed about the price, but now looking at it, he does look a welcome addition, you know. And apparently he gets on with the team. He's very well liked. And even Conte asked him to really just make what he could of that Champions League debut, you know, just to keep doing what he's doing for the team. So I'm happy. Just disappointed that we couldn't carry on into this weekend, because you know how much we enjoy playing City, but with everything that's gone on. Yeah.
I mean, nonetheless, I mean, we're back, baby. That's all that matters. We're back.
Yeah, we are. You know, one thing as well, like, you know, back in the Champions League, performing at a goodest level. We've even, in the league, we're on like 5 or 6 unbeaten at home, which I think is the longest we've done in about 4 or 5 years, which is like important. I think it's just important that we kind of build some sort of fortress at home for a nice base, so that people, you know, they think they don't want to come to London, that they don't want to play Spurs at home. They don't want to play against a Conte team where they're going to have to break them down and stop their attack. So I can't really, like, you know, I can't really complain at the moment. Just need some more sun form, to be honest. That will lighten my mood a bit.
And I just want to wind it back a little bit, because I was praising Conte's proactivity.
Yeah.
In before getting us our first goal, there was another set of substitutions which he made just before we scored our first goal. And I want to touch a point, because we could be seeing this like in future games as well. It'll be interesting if we do. He ended up subbing off Longley and Romero for Davis and Tanganga, just come again as played as played as wider centre backs, where I thought we could have used a bit more energy in midfield. Bissouma could have came on even. What did you make of those subs at the time?
It was a funny one, because we hadn't scored by that point, so I was bit like, is he just resting these guys, or is he just wanting to try something different? It was a funny one. I wasn't really sure about it, because I was like, I've not seen Tanganga all season, and Davies doesn't need to come on at this point. I thought, if anything, that was a bit of a risky one. But I don't know. I suppose in his mind, he probably thought, I don't know, maybe he saw ahead. He probably thought, oh, the goal's probably coming. Why not just keep... why don't we just change it up? But then we can keep kind of the pressure on with how we're playing and how we like are retaining the ball, but just change it up with someone players who are a bit more fresh. And that's the only thing I can think of. But again, it was a surprising one. I thought that we would bring more attacking players, and I thought Gil would have been a good option to have, maybe even Spence, just to open them up a little bit. But no, that wasn't the case. It was just in the end, it was three defenders and Bissouma in the end?
Yeah, Bissouma came on after we went 2-0 up, as did Matt Doherty, I guess, to get that balance back again. But I guess my thinking, obviously, at the time, I was thinking, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're bringing on two centre-backs, well, two effectively players who play centre-backs for us on when we're still trying to get a goal. And I can kind of see what he was trying to do, obviously, just protecting us from that countering, players who are familiar with not just defending centrally, but defending in wide positions as well. Obviously, Tanganga has a decent amount of experience right back. Ben Davis, obviously, pretty much is a left back. And it was Davis, I guess, who contributed a little bit to our first goal. I think he gave the ball to Perisic, and then he made an underlapping run to be a presence in the box, which, I mean, at the end of the day, is another player Marseille have to make sure he's occupied. So
absolutely, absolutely.
I think it's no accident where we managed to get someone extra at the front post, and then an extra player peeled off at the back post to score. I think it just, you make your own luck sometimes by just putting players in the box and having a quality delivery.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
from Big Ivan. I think he's tallied up with a few assists this season already.
Yeah, he has. And he's got into lots of opportunities as well. Even him as well is a funny one against Marseille. I didn't think he was particularly like effective. He just, you know, some of the basics again, like he's like very good at, just couldn't like bring some chances under some like long passes and through balls under control. His first time passes were a little bit off. He wasn't great, but then again, Just little bits of quality with like with the assist for that first goal he was able to provide, and Højbjerg provided the assist for the second one as well. So, I mean, I think it's going to be there's going to be some games this season that it's going to be I think it's going to be like that. There's going to be teams that are going to come and sit. They're going to make it very difficult for us, and we've just got to be clinical when those chances come. And there will be some games like the Southampton game where, you know, you are extremely clinical, chances come thick and fast and you take them. But at this point, we're still unbeaten as a team, which is, people might say, OK, oh, it doesn't mean anything in September. But, you know, we've played seven or eight games, or six or seven games at this point. We've not lost any. And we've performed adequately in most of them, in the difficult ones away from home, especially in London, Chelsea, Chelsea away, West Ham away, you know, in games that we lost last season, we've picked up points. So, yeah, it feels like we're in a goodish moment. But again, like Lewis kind of is, you know, keep asking. I want it to be sustainable, just to the point whereby we are in more control of games, more clinical, in front of goal, and we're giving even less chances away, which I kind of think we will do.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons, or a few of the reasons why I still think this is way more sustainable, obviously, than that Mourinho team, as well as obviously the way we're playing, obviously creating chances, not conceding. We've still got a high number of quality players who have still yet to get out of second gear. Like Kane, who's still been scoring, hasn't got a second gear. Son's not even got a first gear. Bentancur started the season a little bit slowly. Slower than we would have expected him to. Bissouma still yet to come into the team. You got Doherty and Spence, who are still to be integrated to kind of help us out on that right-hand side. Probably be Doherty a bit sooner than Spence, Spence is still going to be there.
And Richarlison's only really kind of hit the ground running. We've, you know, had lots of substitute appearances from Kulusevski, but even in his appearances, he's managed a couple, a goal, a couple assists as well. So,
It's exactly that. And that's what I mean. Like, he scored in the Champions League, but he's still yet to kind of show what he can do in a Spurs shirt in the league. Yeah. So it's still exciting times. Obviously, when we do eventually play league games again, remains to be properly seen. But we do have a game in midweek. I don't believe it's been cancelled. Playing Sporting away on Tuesday. Yeah. So just wanted to slight preview that. I think I'll probably use this opportunity for the lack of league football to maybe even catch their game on the weekend to try and scout them a little bit. But they obviously won their game against Frankfurt 3-0 with one of our ex-academy prospects looking a huge threat and is their current number 10. So, I mean, how are you feeling as a kind of quick prediction for that game?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know that much about Sporting, to be honest with you. If I'm honest with you, I don't know, like, too much about them. I know that they've signed that Trincao guy back, who was at Wolves, and I know obviously Marcus Edwards has managed to get himself into a good moment there. But I can't really say that I'm like well versed on them. I'm not sure what it says about them or Frankfurt that they beat them so convincingly. But they're a team that's always involved in the league race in Portugal with Benfica and Porto. So I assume them to be back in the Champions League must mean that they're still at a good level. I don't really know what to expect from them, although I do know sometimes going to these Portuguese sides away from home can sometimes be difficult. So we'll wait and see. I'll be very frank. I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, I only really saw... I guess like bits of the second half live. I obviously called the highlights as well. For what I can see from obviously the app, which I loaded up and played the Champions League theme through, it was no accident. But I mean, any excuse to play it at the moment, really. they seem to, they look like they're going to match us up, to be fair. They look like they're going to match us up. They don't look like they have a clear kind of number nine.
No, it doesn't look that way.
Interesting. I wonder if it was like a circumstantial thing for them to be playing Frankfurt, but their front three was obviously Trincao, Pedro Gonçalves, and Marcus Edwards. Looking like he was maybe operating as a false nine, which will be interesting. I don't know how to feel about them not having a number nine, but I expect us to maybe invite pressure on them from them. And us to kind of set up the way we did against Marseille and catch them on the break. But who knows? We saw, I think I saw when Sporting played Arsenal in the Europa League, maybe not last year, the season before, and that was a really, really entertaining tie. There was lots of goals and quality as well from both sides. So I expect this to be a hard game. I'd still expect us to win. But it could be dicey, like, I guess every European tie in Europe, but yeah, I'm going to put my neck out a little bit. I wasn't confident ahead of the Marseille game, but now I've seen us kind of come through that. We've got the rest of the Premier League. Yeah, I think I can see us winning 3-1.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one because Edwards, lots of stuff seems to go through him at Sporting. And like, again, he's, you know, no one's ever denied how good he is technically as well. He's always been like a kind of a decently sort of technical player. You know what these like low, these smaller players with low center of gravity, very good dribbler, very sure of himself. So it will be interesting to see how we come through that. I imagine he'll probably want to perform adequately against his old suitors. But again, this is a game that I think won't be easy. But again, it's always winnable. And I think if we can try come out of these first three games without dropping any points, I think we should be comfortable to go to the next stage. But again, you know, at this point, it's game by game. And they're going to be wanting to take the onus in the group as well by trying to beat us after winning midweek against Frankfurt as well. So it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a good game. We are quite lucky in the sense that we'll be a bit more fresh because they're playing on the weekend and we're not, which kind of is good and also gives us a bit more time to prepare.
Hold that Sporting.
to prepare for the game. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's no reason why we can't perform against Sporting. Yeah.
Summed it up perfectly. Well, that that will conclude our stream and our pod for this morning. Obviously, the audio is going to go straight out. Yeah, thank you, Booker T, for being my kind and gracious co-host today. And
no problem, pal, no problem.
I hope you and anyone else listening has a lovely weekend.
Yeah, love that. Thanks, bro.
I'll be your host, X-Pac, and signing off. Peace.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. A great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.